Hi, today I'm with Sue Ritchie, and she's a holistic health and fertility specialist. She's the award-winning author of Love Your Gut, the practical guide to sustainable weight loss from the inside out. And she's also co-author of a book of soulful musings, Rise in Pursuit of Empowerment, Dance in the Fire of Life, and Voices of Hope. She runs deep. She runs deep. And today we want to talk about how your gut health can affect your fertility. You might ask what this has got to do with relationships, but I actually think our relationship with our body is the primary one, and how we care for ourselves affects absolutely everything else. And if this actually affects how we have children, if we can have children, this is pretty fundamental to us in this podcast. Welcome, Sue.
Hi, lovely to be here, Heather. Thank you for inviting me.
You are so welcome. So tell me all about you and how you got interested in the gut microbiome.
Okay, right. Well, I'm going to try and keep this short because it could be quite a lengthy story and whatever. But basically, I suppose just to sort of set a bit of background of my life is I had a corporate marketing career for many years at the senior level. I started my own direct marketing business, and I suppose it was probably now, and that life, if you like, was one where I was always constantly stressed, working very hard. In many ways, if you like, my actually realization later on was that my self-worth and my self-value were tied up in my work and working. And, so I was always sort of putting everybody first, not looking after myself, not prioritizing, my own self-care. And that sort of ended up, if you like, with me being sort of being in a place that's probably about, well, yeah, maybe 14 years ago now, of having horrendous brain fog, horrendous memory problems to the extent that I thought I was literally going bonkers, going mad, which was quite scary. I had no energy. I basically had joint pain, which meant I couldn't go out and walk in nature, which I love. And, all of those sort of health issues. And it took about 6 months visiting my doctor before I got a diagnosis. And the diagnosis I got was Hashimoto's disease, which, if nobody knows what that is, it basically is an autoimmune disease that affects your thyroid gland. Now, I'd experienced having sinus problems many years ago, and I'd actually, on the advice of a friend of mine, actually gone to see somebody who was a alternative therapist, if you like, looking at allergies and things like this. And with her help and taking some things out of my diet, I literally, particularly dairy, never had sinus problems anymore. So with that background in mind, when I was sort of given this diagnosis, and it was like, so I'm going to feel like this for the rest of my life. And I was like, I don't think I really want that. I've got a lot of things I want to do with my life, and hoping I'm going to become a grandparent and, be a grandmother and all of those things. I want to be able to sort of have the energy to chase a child around the garden. So with that sort of background of knowing about alternative things, I sort of said to my doctor that, well, I can get my, immune system well again and get my health back on track. To be really sort of stopped in my tracks with her response, which was no, and in quite angry voice, no, that's impossible. You'll be on medication for the rest of your life. And in that moment, I thought, no, I won't. And I made that decision then to do everything I could to really learn about what was happening, understand more about my health, and do all the research to find out how I could get myself well again, which is what I did. But in that, it really, as well as sort of learning, the key thing was actually finding out that gut microbiome was the problem. And visiting a doctor's website in the States, where all of my symptoms, I could literally just tick them all off, and knowing what that was. But the interesting thing was that my body actually gave me the answer. And in getting myself well again, I had to really step back in my business. I shrunk, I call it shrinking the business. I got rid of staff. I took the business back home. I decided only to work with my existing clients and started to set really good boundaries for my work-life balance, if you like. Taking time out in nature, meditating, and, generally just having a good look at my whole lifestyle, where I was, where I'd come from. And doing a lot of work as well on really my emotional healing, childhood stuff, and things like that, which is really all wrapped up in the whole story of eventually being able to recover from Hashimoto's within 18 months. So the key for me was that in the meditation that I did on a regular basis, the guidance, if you like, came to me intuitively by literally, and some people might find this a bit strange and a bit weird, but it literally was just a word was just dropped into my head, and that word was Candida. And having had that word, I then obviously followed that whole journey in finding out more about Candida, gut health, and things like that, and then took myself through the whole process of rebalancing my gut, healing my leaky gut. I changed my diet. I had to take gluten out. I'd already taken dairy out, taking out sugar, and really focusing on having a totally natural diet, with no processed foods.
And how did that affect you as you felt? You could feel, obviously, your gut was different. How did you feel in your physical and your mental health?
It was quite amazing because really within a few weeks of making those dietary changes, and working on with supplements to get my body back into a really good place and heal my gut, all of the issues I had with brain fog, the memory problems, the energy levels, all of those things disappeared within, with a matter of a few weeks. And the other big bonus I got was that in 3 months I lost 35 pounds in weight, which I'd never been able to shift doing all sorts of other stuff, if you like, in the
So when you
past.
rebalanced, it balanced your weight as well. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And actually going on that whole journey of really stopping, really taking that time to look at myself, look at my life, brought up a lot of realizations. And as I said once before, was that I really felt that I've always been a very spiritual person, and certainly, in my childhood days, teenage years, but then, life sort of got in the way. And it was a big realization of the fact that I really wasn't actually living a life that was in true alignment with who I really was as a person.
Yeah, that is fundamental, because if you don't, you're always living in a cross current.
And all of those things are, not setting boundaries, people pleasing, avoiding confrontation. All of those things sort of come into play. And it really means that you don't make yourself a top priority. So for me, the key learning was I need to practice self-care. I need to put myself first. I need to make my health my top priority, because I can't be the best I can for my clients. I can't be the best I can for my family. And and I'm not going to be able to show up as the best version of myself. But that's not just for the benefit of others, but that's for the benefit of me, as well, really.
And yeah, you don't want to be miserable with all of that. And I was thinking about, just how much our culture is relentless in asking women to do lots and lots, and men too, but we're here primarily for women. And there's even a sort of, in the British culture, I think, a bit of a scoffing or a judgment of vanity if you take care of yourself.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think that, I don't know, I suppose it's we've had this sort of, I suppose it really sort of came from the 80s, I think, of, it's this whole concept of as women we can have everything.
Yes. The
And
cliche is, and that means we do everything.
yeah. And the truth is, we're supposed to, we're called human beings, but we tend to be human doings rather than human beings. And I just feel it's so important to for everybody to just take that quiet time to step back, to take a look at themselves, to take a look at the life that you're living, take a look at what's happening in your life. And, is it really what you want, or is it being pushed by, all those thoughts of, well, that's what somebody else wants me to doing because they think I should be doing it.
So how do you see this as the way it affects the health in the UK? Because if lots of us are living in this way, how do you see it? What's it affecting our health generally?
Well, I think there's a number of elements, but I think the biggest one, which I think isn't really being, or maybe it's starting to being fully recognised now, with a lot of the talk about how all the ultra processed foods and the amount of processed foods that we're eating, how they really have an actually significant impact on creating very serious health issues for us. And I think all of that, and I will admit to being a person who was addicted to busyness, as I call it. And in all of that busyness, we are really forgetting about ourselves. And it's sort of, and I don't know why, but we seem to have lost touch with the whole concept of the pleasure of food, in a sense, the pleasure of, but eating food, as in a social context, as a, eating together as a family, having that family connection time round a table, sharing good food. And, to me, that's also, when you're doing that, it's also good for mental health as well, because it's, giving everybody an opportunity to share and communicate and connect. As well. And I think connection is something that we're losing today with social media, which is becoming, more of an online thing rather than the actual person-to-person connection, which,
Yes.
is, as human beings, we thrive on social connection.
Yes. For me, there's the thing about emotional regulation. It's a very clumsy term for how we keep each other calm. You see it with a child that's distressed. Mother takes them in their arms, or father takes them in their arms, and the child just settles because their anguish is absorbed into the parent's body, and then they can be calm again, and they can get reassurance, as verbal reassurance and all of that. And we lose that if we're just on social media or busy with our phones or whatever we're doing. We're losing that ability to really cherish each other and calm each other. And there's the other thing as well. I mean, it does have an effect on your gut, it has an effect on your emotional tension level. So, yeah, maybe you could speak a little bit about that and gut-brain connection.
Yes, well, I think the thing is like stress is a huge problem to today, and it was stress has always been a huge problem for me. And stress has a big impact on our whole of our body, particularly on our gut microbiome. And stress is one of the key things that actually helps to get our microbiome out of balance, if you like. But it's also affected by what we eat and nutrition and medications and drugs and alcohol, all of those things, the contraceptive pill, all the toxins that we're exposed to today, and we're exposed to a hell of a lot of toxins, which are really having a big impact on our health, but also on our fertility as well.
Could you say what some of those are? Just a quick list.
Well, obviously pesticides, which are used on food, so many foods. Hormones given to animal, given to animals that we're eating. Then you've got, plastic. So you've got BPAs in plastic. You've got PFAS, which are these sort of fire retardant chemicals that are used on our furniture, carpets, all of those sorts of things. What we put on our bodies, because there are harmful endocrine disruptor chemicals in body products, moisturizers, makeup, cosmetics, all of those things, which obviously, we're putting on our skin, and the skin has a microbiome as well. And we absorb things through our skin at a much faster rate than through the rest of our bodies. So all of these things, it's so important to be looking at. The other things that people don't consider, PFAS are also in a lot of non-stick saucepans, which of course we're cooking food in every day as well. So there's a lot of things that, if you like, in modern day life, which probably weren't, so prevalent around 40 years ago, and now having a big impact on our health, but through our gut microbiome. And one of the things about the gut microbiome is, as well, is it's a key place because it's connected to our brain and both of those organs. And I call the gut an organ because in many ways it actually functions like an organ in the body. And they talk to each other constantly throughout the day. All the sort of key hormones, a lot of the key hormones are managed and also balanced in the gut. And I think, when you talk about, more sort of depression and things like that and anxiety, that can come from the fact that you've actually, your gut microbiome isn't in the best place. Around 80% of serotonin, which is that feel good factor hormone, that's produced in the gut. It's not produced in the brain.
Right, goodness, right. So if we're not producing that in our guts, then we're not going to feel very happy.
And everything is holistic. From a health point of view, is mind, body, and spirit. Are all connected to each other. We're not just a body on its own. And each has, that connection, and each has an impact on each other. So, how we think and how we feel affects, the cells in our body and vice versa. If we're not feeding our body the right foods, getting the right nutrition, then that has an effect on our mental health as well.
So, what signs would we see in ourselves of poor gut health? What could we experience?
Right. Well, I think the first one's probably the earlier signs, and unfortunately, we just seem to get lots of television adverts that say you just need to take this stuff and it all goes away. Well, that's digestive problems, bloating, and wind, which probably, most people will think that, it's nothing to worry about. And you just take something that's advertised on the television, if you like, that's going to fix that problem. The problem is, it doesn't fix the problem. It's really like putting your finger in the dike. And you're just ignoring actually the warning signs that something else actually is happening underneath in your gut that is causing these problems. So
Okay.
problems focusing, concentrating, memory problems, brain fog, they're all signs. Things like athlete's foot, fungal nail infections. A big one, I think, for a lot of people is the cravings for sugar and carbs. And this is a big one when working with my clients as well, because people feel that they haven't got enough willpower, if you like, to deal with those cravings. And oh God, I'm going to go for the biscuits, or I'm going to go for some sweets, or I'm going to go for I'm going to have a pizza because I really need those carbs. And people end up beating themselves up because they think that they really should be able to control these cravings. But it's actually the bad bacteria in your gut, because its favorite food is sugar and carbs, and carbs convert into sugar that makes us want to eat more and more of those foods.
Yes, that's a nasty little loop, isn't it?
Yes. It is. And the thing is, you have to stop beating yourself up and really look to resolve the core problem. So the other thing could be mood swings, irritability, anxiety, depression, obviously fatigue, feeling tired, people who are suffering from chronic fatigue, autoimmune diseases. Obviously I talked about mine, which is Hashimoto's, but other autoimmune diseases all have their root cause in a disrupted gut microbiome. Skin problems like eczema, hives and rashes, they're another sign of things not right with the thing. And so it's, and I think we tend to have this typical, if you like, conventional medicine approaches. You've got something wrong with the skin, you put something on your skin, rather than taking the inside, what I call an inside out approach
Beautiful.
to fixing the problem. And then obviously you've got vaginal infections, thrush, candida, those sorts of things that come into it. But also things like seasonal allergies as well, hay fever as well can be a factor of the gut not being in a good place.
When you talk about these things, think about how many people I know who complain about quite a lot of them.
It's a big problem, and it's quite it's nice to see that since I sort of started this and I wrote my book, how now we're seeing so much more being talked about in the media about gut health, about diet and nutrition, which is a really good thing. But the difficulty for so many people is knowing actually how to. How do I start to address this myself?
Yes, of course.
And like with everything, you Google online and you'll see one thing, one person saying something, somebody saying another, and you end up, people can become incredibly overwhelmed, confused, if you like, about where to start. And that can lead to, well, I won't even start. And then, of course, the big factor is, you've got to make changes. And as human beings, we generally don't like making changes.
No, we don't. It's true. But it's really important if we want to live a long and healthy life, and with our families too, if we want to create health for them. We don't want to be setting up the next generation with a poor biome and possibly even leaky gut. Actually, you mentioned leaky gut before, so can you tell me a bit about that while we're at it?
Yes, well, leaky gut can, quite often be part of this whole disrupted gut microbiome. And basically, what happens is that the gut, if you like, the I'll make it simple. So it ends up with like sort of leaky holes. There are sort of joint pieces in the gut which then sort of open up, and so things that shouldn't get into the bloodstream, food particles and things like that, get into the bloodstream. And your body being very clever, and your immune system goes red alert. These things shouldn't be here, and that's why you get this sort of immune response and autoimmune response when your gut is leaking. And when your gut's leaking, it's really difficult for your body to actually utilize all the vitamins and minerals and things that you might be getting your food. So even if you're actually eating a pretty healthy diet, you may not, your body might be actually lacking in key vitamins and minerals.
Right. Okay. And presumably, when you have those autoimmune responses, then that takes quite a lot out of your system just to fight that.
It does, yeah,
Yeah,
yes.
right. So, what's the process to fix gut health, feel better and be better?
Well, I think that the key thing is really is a sort of what I call, and it's sort of a holistic approach of sort of called the sort of 5 R's, if you like. And that very much is looking at sort of removing potential foods that actually could be causing a problem. For a lot of people today, gluten is one of them, dairy can be another. And so really sort of stripping back, if you like, to not having sugar and caffeine and alcohol and all of these things for a while, just to sort of really get the system, get those things out of the system so the body can work a bit better. But then it's so, you know, starting to replace things you know, changing your diet to introduce really more healthy options, natural foods, lots of, you know, vegetables, good protein, nuts, seeds, plenty of fiber, fruit, to really sort of, you know, start feeding the body with really good nutrition to really support good health. And then it's also in part of that process, yes, you know, using prebiotics and probiotics to actually start to repopulate the gut. Because obviously taking sugar out and not having carbs and things like that means that the bad bacteria can't get hold of its food. So those bacteria start to die off. And then obviously you want to replace with good bacteria, so that they can actually take over. And it's important as well to be eating the right foods that actually help the good bacteria to grow and thrive in your gut. And fiber, dietary fiber, is one of the key things that's really important. And, you know, when you're eating a food, a diet which is very much, if you like, a lot of processed foods, or you're actually, you know, eating foods from, you know, takeaways and all of those sorts of things, you don't really know what the nutritional content is of those foods. And they really do actually harm the gut microbiome and cause disruption.
I'm getting a nice, a clear picture, if I can just butt in a minute, because I'm getting a clear picture of, do I want to feed the gut bacteria that are negative for me, or do I want to feed the good ones? It's reminding me of that I think it's American native saying, as you know, you've got a bad wolf on your shoulder and a good wolf on your shoulder. Which one do you listen to, or which one do you feed most, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's a great analogy. It's almost a bit, you know, it goes a tangent with you know, your negative voice and all that negative chatter that goes on. You know, do you want to listen to that negative chatter, or do you want to change that into a positive
Yeah,
version?
move towards health. Yeah. So, I'm sorry I interrupted you a little bit. Did you complete what you need to do
Yes, I
to
suppose
fix?
it's really, you know, doing all those things to rebalancing. But the key thing is that with all of this is that when you do this process, the great thing is that what will surprise many people is that those cravings for sugar and carbs that you thought that you really were, you know, struggling with, suddenly you don't have those really anymore.
Wow.
And once you start feeding your body, you know, healthy, good, nutritious food, natural foods, those sort of cravings for the most, you know, the things that aren't so good for you disappear. And, you know, you get the benefit because you know, your energy is much better, you feel calmer, less anxious, you sleep better. And, you know, it does have that effect of feeling more positive about, you know, things in life.
Yeah, I can really feel that. It's just that it's what do I want to feed is coming across really strongly in me. If all of that is possible, you know, I don't want to feed those nasty little creatures that are sort of parasitic on me and make me eat things that aren't good for me just to feed them. I don't want that.
And I think it's also about, coming into starting, around, being mindful of what you're eating as well, and making, those choices that are good for you. And that, fits back into this whole thing of, really prioritizing self-care and taking care of yourself. And, why don't we want to, everybody sort of thinks that you go into being, aging, if you like, and there's this, thing that you've it's normal, put it the way, it's sort of considered normal that, all of these health issues come up as you age. But the reality of that is that it's not normal, and you can age in a healthy way. Yes, obviously the body, there is some deteriorations and things do happen, but as we age, wouldn't it be better to be living a life where we are healthy and we can do things? I've got this fly here, you have to excuse me, which is annoying. obviously, there's something attractive about me, but
You probably smell very nice.
yeah, it's helped me. Lost my train of thought now. So it's like, we have the choice to make, if you like, of whether we want to, look after ourselves and be healthy. And I think, a lot of the times we do have to take the time actually to do some healing, of, things that have come from our childhood, from those, events and traumas and things like that, because they do, they do get in the way of us actually. I think, probably the biggest one that, people don't feel is they never feel good enough. And we're always trying to prove, if you like, that was my thing, always trying to prove to others that I was good enough. And that for me was why, it was like, I have to do all of these things. I have to be busy to prove that I'm actually good enough.
And then when we get stressed, we reach for the sugary foods because they do have effects on the stress hormones. So we get a nice little addictive loop starts.
Absolutely,
So
absolutely.
tell me how all this fits in with fertility.
Yes, interesting. Well, from where my whole view really on the fertility thing is that it really pays to prepare for conception. And with all of the, things that a modern life brings, if you like, the stresses and strains and issues that modern life brings, fertility is under a lot of pressure today. But we can do things and we can take steps to actually get our bodies and our health and our mental state into a much better place before we actually, get to that point of wanting to conceive a child. And, we have a serious health crisis in the UK already. And it makes me so sad to see so many children, young children having health issues, when they're very young. And seeing children as also being in that situation where, they end up being carers for their parents, and so miss out on having a proper childhood. And the key thing is that, our bodies, if you like, are very clever. And if we are not, having the right environment in our body, both from a sort of nutritional point of view, our bodies are very clever. And if our bodies think that they can't support, conceiving a child and growing a child, if you like, then it's not going to happen. And stress is such a big factor in all of this as well, because stress, is that sort of natural, very, what's the word, almost like, going back to very early humans, it's a very ancient system that runs in our bodies that basically says, you're being chased by this saber-toothed tiger, you've got to run like hell, if you like, because you've got to save your life. And of course, the truth is, that's not the situation that we're in most of the time now. It's stresses of work and, trying to keep up with everything. And, one of the things that happens when you're in stress is that, if you're running for hell to save your life, your body's not going to go, oh, yeah, I think it's a good time to conceive a baby right now.
Right. So that's the sense of literally being on the run in life, never slowing down, never being in a receptive mode. We're always in an active mode. Get you?
And basically the physical reaction in the body when you're in that situation is it shuts down all the systems that it doesn't need, because all it needs is for you to create the enough energy for you to get out of that dangerous situation.
That's a brilliant synopsis, and I love that. Thank you so much, Sue. Where can people find you?
Right. They can find me at my website, which is www.sue-ritchie.com, and that's RITCHIE.com. I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on Facebook.
Lovely, right. So that's very simple. LinkedIn, you're just Sue Ritchie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I see you're on Twitter too.
Yes, I am on Twitter,
Sue
yeah.
Ritchie Coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great. And where can they buy your books? Are you on Amazon?
Yes, the book is on Amazon.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Sue. It's been really enlightening. And I hope it's going to be useful to everybody. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Been great. Enjoyed it.